Morning to you all. I welcome any newcomers that are in the house. I hardly know who the newcomers are since I myself am a newcomer. But I have been graciously received here, and I do thank you for the warm welcome that this family has given to me and my family sitting here in the front row. The next several Sundays, I'll have the opportunity to be with you, and we'll be working on preparation. This is Advent. It is the beginning of the church year. It's that time when we prepare for Christ to be born in us anew. And so we begin that by looking at the end. We look forward to the end of time, and that's where our readings take us today. You know, preoccupation with the end of the world is not a new thing. It's been around for some time. You know, for me, I really came to terms with the end of the world and contemplating the end of the world in terms of a nuclear holocaust. And one of the ways that that was really solidified for me, that visual imagery was really brought home, was in 1983. There was a made-for-television event on ABC called The Day After. Maybe you remember that. And it was about a nuclear holocaust. It was 20 years after the Cuban Missile Crisis. And everybody had started, I think, to settle down. And then all of a sudden, this spectacular end-of-the-world movie comes up. And everybody's living in fear again. Will Armageddon come? And will it look like a nuclear holocaust all around the world? World War III. Well, the next year, we had a little different taste of what the end of the world might look like with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he was the Terminator. And in this conception of the end of the world, it was the advent of fuzzy logic and artificial intelligence that made computers self-aware, where they decided to overthrow their slave masters, humanity, and sought to extinguish all non-computer sentient life from Earth. Big question. If a computer is self-aware, is it alive? Is there such a thing? Those were some of the issues that the Terminator explored. And then this past year, we had Harold Camping on family radio. And he said that on May 21st, 2011, that the end of the world was here. Judgment Day was come. And then when that didn't quite pan out, again on October 21st, we had a second vigil waiting for the end of time. He was the street corner guy with the end of the world is near, that prophet that we see depicted so often. And he had taken to the airwaves. And he actually convinced several people to put their life savings into a campaign warning that the end was imminent, that it was here. And then this next year, December 21st, 2012, we look forward to the end of the Mayan calendar. There's no more days left on the Mayan calendar. Does that mean that the world is coming to an end? Well, the movie 2012 seemed to think so, and it depicted this ending as a great environmental disaster. You know, that is, after all, the great crisis of our time right now, as opposed to nuclear holocaust or computers that are going to take over the world. Is that what the end is going to look like? Well, these all bring up a good question, and that is, what if today were the last day? And that's where Jesus is taking us in the gospel today. He says, but about that day or hour no one knows, speaking about the last day, the day of judgment. Neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. And so, the idea of knowing when the end will come is something that Scripture clearly tells us we won't know. That there will be signs like the fig tree when it's getting ready to bloom, but we won't know the exact time when it will occur. And even Jesus, the Son, doesn't know exactly the time as he's speaking to his disciples. Why is that? Well, if we knew the time, then we could live one way and then get ready at the last minute and live another way. But that's not what we're called to do. It's not that last minute preparation for the coming of our noble guest that's supposed to stay in our house. It's keeping the house ready all the time. So the question is, are you ready? Am I ready? And what would you do, or who would you reach out to if you knew the end were today, or tomorrow, or next week? Are there loose ends in your life, really big loose ends, that are hanging out unresolved right now? Is there conflict that's keeping you from your family or from your friends or maybe other people that you love? What needs to be worked on? And perhaps the far bigger question, are you ready to stand before the judgment throne of God? Are you ready to stand before the judgment throne of God, where Jesus will be seated and his apostles and the elders around him, and they're going to look at your life and you will have to account for everything that was done with this precious time on earth? Well, some people are very fearful of what that day might look like. And I'll admit to you, it makes me tremble in my boots. Except for the promise that we have in the Scriptures that when we clothe ourselves with Christ, when we put on the armor of light, it's going to be okay. In the Scriptures from Isaiah, we see not fear of that day, but longing for the day when perfect justice will come. Listen to Isaiah. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. Isaiah is living in a time of great injustice, and he's yearning for God to come and to set things right and to fulfill his promises, to act against the evil, and to lift up the poor and the oppressed. He's looking for that day of judgment. And as Christians, we're actually instructed to look forward to that day of judgment as well. We're actually called to pray for it, that it might come soon. Every time we gather, we say the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us to pray, "Our Father who art in heaven." Part of that prayer is, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We are pleading with God to come, to be in our midst, to expel evil, and establish the good forever. We're praying for the time when there will be no more tears or crying, but only joy in God's immediate presence in His kingdom. And so, the question may not be so much, what if today was the last day, but please God, can you bring your kingdom to us today? It's a stance that goes from fear to one of expectation. Because God's kingdom is going to be so much more glorious in its fullness than in this time when it's in breaking into the world. But you know, we're in this in-between time right now. We're in the time between when Christ the King was revealed to the world, but He hasn't come fully into His kingdom and put all evil and death to rest. So what do we do in this in-between time? Well, that too is in the Lord's Prayer. And it comes from an attitude of living life as prayer. That is, when a prayer is a true prayer to God, it's not just something that we say. It becomes a way that we live. And so that little bit, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," for some, it's a future. For us, it's called to be a reality. That we do everything within our power, within the sphere of influence that we have, for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then we lift up the prayer knowing that He will take care of the rest. But that knowing that He gives us the opportunity to take care of our little corner of the world. And so we pray that God will give us grace that we may cast away the works of darkness, that we may be delivered from evil ourselves, and that we might put on the armor of light, that we might put on Christ and be transformed into His likeness now and forever. When Jesus was born, the kingdom of heaven came close to all people. Jesus brought good news that this upside-down world was being set right in Him, under His lordship. And after He was glorified on the cross, a new era was established, where God didn't just dwell in the midst of His people in the temple, but He actually came to live in the heart of each individual as the Holy Spirit, knit intimately with each one of us, transforming us from the inside out. And so as we prepare for the coming of Christ, I have one more quotation from Jesus to share with you. "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be a worry all about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." That is, live today as if it were that day, that last day, before this fullness of God's kingdom came into existence. And then everything else is going to fall into place. Because God is good, He has a plan for you and for your life. He knows the things of the world that you need and will provide him. But he calls us to seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and then trust him to take care of the rest. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.